morning, I'm not going to use the tool of humor to hold your attention or the tool of dynamics. I'm going to ask you to listen in honor of your mother. God gave me a wonderful mother. Regardless of what your mother is or is not, she gave you life. If that's all she ever did for you, you owe her a debt of gratitude. This morning I want to honor the mothers in my message entitled A Tribute to Motherhood. I'd like for all the mothers to stand, would you please, just for a moment. All the mothers. Now while you're standing, let me give you just a word of truth. I want you ladies to listen to me now. While you're standing, all the other ladies, you're 18 or over, would you stand? You're a female, would you stand? All the other ladies stand. I want to say a word to you that I want to give you a blessing I had this week. I counseled with three different pastors this week. Pastor number one came and he had a list of things he wanted advice about. When he finished talking, he said, "Brother Hiles, I have a lady in my church that's causing all kinds of trouble. She just opposes everything. She goes from one person to the other, opposing everything. She's a gossip." I advised him how to handle it. I said, "Get a gun, shoot her. But do it while God's not looking." Pastor number two, a little while later, came in. He told me several problems, and when he got through, he said, "I want you to pray for me." And by the way, these are small churches, churches that run maybe 100 to 200 in attendance. He said, I need some advice about a lady in my church who's causing trouble. I don't know what to do. Should I talk to her?" And then pastor number three said the same type thing. And I got to thinking as they left, here are fellows with churches with 100, 150, 200 people. I have a church with thousands and thousands of people. I don't know one single lady in our church who's a gossip. Not one. If I had to pick someone out in our church who was a gossip, it would be from the bass section of the choir. But I just rejoiced because of the ladies God's given us here. Think about that. Now, I don't even know a single lady in this church who's negative, critical, or a gossip. And I want to just thank you ladies. I'll say more about it in a few minutes. But I'm going to pay tribute to you this morning, and I want to thank you for making Pastor a joy. Pastor said, last month was talking to me, about 3 weeks ago. He said, "My WMS has given me fits, Women's Missionary Society." He said, "You have one?" I said, "Yes, one of the finest things in our church." Well, he said, "Ours is done but a gossip session." I said, "Ours is a missionary session." And again, I thank God for the ladies of our church. I hope you'll feel my heart this morning as I speak to you and about you. Would you be seated, please? I'm going to ask the rest of you to listen carefully this morning, and I believe there's no better way you can pay tribute to your mother than listening to me and agreeing with me as I pay tribute to your mother. Father, bless me now as I speak. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I cannot adequately express my gratitude for the women who stood a moment ago. For my mother and the mother of my children and all the others, I pray you bless me as I speak today. Amen. Would you please listen carefully? First, came the light. Then, following the light, God made the firmament. Following the firmament, God lit the starry host of the sky. The great light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. After that came the fish of the sea. Then all the tribes of the animal kingdom were created by God. After that, God was ready for man. He was made man in the image of God. It was wonderful and marvelous. Every tree was pleasant to the eyes. Rivers flowed peaceably in verdant valleys. Every sound was a melody, and every scene was a delight. There was no war to unrest the breast, no sickness to cause a fear of death, no leaf ever withered, and no wind ever chilled. No perspiration moistened the brow, no profanity cursed the ear. No mosquitoes inserting their hypodermic needles into human flesh. There was no weariness, no heat, no cold. No blossoms were ever smitten by a tempest. Man had not learned yet to sigh, nor had man yet learned to weep or cry. There was no withering frost to chill the rose, and no shadow of guilt was ever known, and no sin had ever been committed. For Adam, it requires the birds to sing. Yet something was missing. Sailors, look at me while I'm preaching. I'm having church this morning. I expect you to listen to me. Something was missing. Adam needed someone with which to share these blessings. He heard the feathered choir as they sang, but somehow he wanted to share it with somebody. He saw Edenic splendor in the garden, but somehow he wanted to share it with somebody. He saw the starry night and the sun in the daytime and the sunrise and sunset and the moon and the stars in the evening time. And Adam said, "That's beautiful, but I want somebody to share it with." He yearned for companionship. He longed for communion with a kindred spirit whose wants and joys were like his own. He cannot fully enjoy the feathered choir alone, or the lovely garden can he enjoy by himself. He cannot enjoy the verdant fields alone. So what if he lives in paradise? There's nobody to say, "Isn't that a pretty sunrise?" There's no one to speak to and say, "Look at the sunset." There's no one with whom to share the beauty of the flowers, the tree of life, and the river of life. There's no one to share that with. We, Mrs. Hiles and I, have marveled at Hawaiian palms. We have enjoyed Maui's sunsets, Alaskan snowcaps. We have marveled at the white cliffs of Dover together. The Mediterranean blue we've shared. The Caribbean paradise we've shared. The Berlin Wall we've seen together. Russia's Kremlin. London's Big Ben. The Greek Isles. Egypt's Sphinx and Pyramids, Luxor's Ruins, Calvary, the Empty Tomb, Gethsemane, Galilean Waters, all of these we've seen together, but I wouldn't walk across the street to see one of them by myself. Listen carefully. I stayed for a week across the street from Knott's Berry Farm, but I was alone. I didn't even walk across the street to see it. I stayed across the street from Disneyland on several occasions where I was preaching near Disneyland. Not once have I ever walked inside Disneyland. I've stayed within a half a mile of Disney World. Not one time have I walked inside of Disney World. Three times I've stayed in a motel 17 miles from the Grand Canyon. I've never seen the Grand Canyon. I have stayed 20 miles from Lake Tahoe on two occasions. I've never seen Lake Tahoe. I stayed across the street for two days from Charles G. Finney's grave site and the pulpit where he preached. I didn't even walk across the street to see him. I stayed 25 miles on two occasions from Yellowstone National Park and never even wandered up to the park to see Yellowstone. I stayed numbers of times with a view of Pike's Peak out the window of my hotel room without even going up to Pike's Peak. I stayed 10 miles on many occasions from the Smoky Mountain National Park. I've never been to the Smoky Mountain National Park. You want to know why? It's no fun by yourself. And Adam said, "The garden is pretty, but I need someone of a kindred spirit with whom to see it. And the river is beautiful, and the stars are lovely, and the sunrise is magnificent, and the sunset is gorgeous. But I need somebody to say to whom I can say, look at that. Here she comes. Adorned with all that heaven and earth could bestow to make her amiable. There she is. Grace was in her step. Heaven was in her eye. Every gesture possessed dignity and love. Perfection was stamped on her manner. The sons of God shouted for joy. The morning stars sang together. Eden was transformed. The earth was sad. The garden wild. The hermit sighed. Till woman smiled. All creature rejoices. The earth has a queen. Her majesty is crowned with grace and truth. Here is God's ultimate creation. Here is our queen. She rules with righteousness as a robe. Love is a scepter. Mercy is a throne. Grace is a crown. Meekness as her pathway. And God decided to name her. He said, I think I'll call her Mother. Mother. Apart from the name Jesus, that's the most beautiful word in the English language. Mother. Apart from the title Jesus itself, the most beautiful title in the English language is Mother. I see my mother this morning sitting on the fourth row. Her Majesty rules, continually rules. Her Majesty rules today in this auditorium. Royalty can be found on every pew. Not queens like Esther, or the Queen of Sheba, or Mary of Scotland, or Athaliah, or Elizabeth of England. Not queens with scepters of diamonds and thrones of marble, and robes of velvet, and crowns of jewels, and imperial wardrobes, and courtly attendants, and royal carriages, and regal palaces, and cheering subjects, and obedient servants. I'm talking about queens sitting all over this room today. On every pew, you'll find one. Queens wave a needle as a scepter, wearing a crown of holiness, a rocking chair for a throne, the neediest subjects. She does not rule the world, but she rules the future rulers of the world. Like Hannah ruled and reared Samuel. Elizabeth ruled and reared John the Baptist. Like Jochebed reared and ruled Moses. Like Mary reared and ruled Jesus. Like Susanna Wesley reared and ruled John and Charles Wesley. Oh, I know, for our majesty, most of you will live long enough to wear time's harsh footprints will show on your face. Your physical charm will fade. Color will flee your cheeks and luster will escape your eyes. The oil of Olay will become impotent and spring will leave your step. But you'll always be a queen. This morning, I salute the queens of the First Baptist Church of Hammond. I salute those who reign in the nursery at this moment so we can enjoy this service. I salute those that rock your children to sleep and change them. Hear their cries while we're here. I salute those queens this morning who reign in the classroom training our youth. I salute queens who teach the kindergarten and the first and second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth grades, and put up with your children and have put up with mine to train them. I salute those queens today. I salute those who are training our junior hires and high schoolers, and those who even are teaching young preacher boys in college how to use proper grammar and how to speak properly. I salute those of you queens who reign from behind the desk in a classroom and your subjects are little snotty-nosed children. I salute those who reign at home, rearing our children and living for your man. I salute those who help as staff members in our ministries, those who work to keep this church going. I salute those queens today who help us have the world's largest Sunday school. who from the nursery all the way through the high school age teach our young ladies. And thank God today that the greatest young ladies turned out in America are turned out from the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Made possible by those who've trained at home and in Sunday school classes. I salute you today. I salute those of you who lead people to Jesus regularly. The queens who go soul winning. I salute the royal ladies today who reign all of us with poor kids as your subjects. To lift others' children out of the quagmire of the ghettos. To tell them that Jesus loves them when mothers and fathers in the world have forgotten that the greatest news in all the world is Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I salute those this morning who've entered into the jaws of death to give us life. And I want to say again, I know of nothing more ungrateful and nothing worse than an ungrateful son or a daughter. I'll say it again, if your mother never cooked you a meal, never prepared for you a clean room, if your mother never sold for you a garment, if your mother never taught you a thing, if all she did was enter the jaws of death to give you life, you owe her a debt. She has given you the second greatest gift that can be given. The first is eternal life, and the second is physical life. I salute those today, those queens who must rear your children alone. I salute you queens today who have no king besides you on another throne. But it's your lot to rear your children by yourself. I salute you today. I salute those who are in their busy days of life. You in the mid-years while the children are young and young years. When you're a cook, house cleaner, yard man, psychiatrist, nurse, doctor, counselor, and taxi driver. You know what I'm talking about. I salute you this morning. Then I salute those whose days of rearing children have passed. Those whose memories are filled with those busy days, but now live alone with precious memories of the days you love to remember but you would not like to relive. I'm testifying. I salute you queens today, your dear senior widows who rule for me and others at the throne of grace. I salute today those whose kingdom is a rest home, whose throne is a hospital bed, whose scepter is a walking stick, whose crown is hair of white. Those who once sat in these pews that now lie on beds of affliction in rest homes. I think of them today, and I thought of many of them this morning before I came to church and while I was in my office. I salute those great people, too often forgotten, who hear I love you too seldom, who have ever heard anybody say, we miss you, who look forward to maybe a Sunday afternoon where somebody will pay a few little respects and do your unwanted duty of going to visit these senior saints. But let me tell you something. You take away these people whose hair has turned white and whose body is stooped and whose steps are unsure and whose hands are palsied and whose eyes are dim and whose ears cannot hear as they once heard. You take them away, we wouldn't have any First Baptist Church of Hammond. I salute them today, our queens. I salute those today who have no children, but have as much the heart of a mother as those who do. I salute those of you that dreamed of having a child, but you could not have one. I think of you and thought of you this morning and prayed for you before I even came to this pulpit. I salute those of you that dreamed of the day that you could give birth to a child and hear the words, I love you, Mommy. And buy a nice little dress or sew a nice little dress for that little girl or boy. I salute you this morning. You wanted to have children. And you're as much a mother as anybody is. Though you have no children. May I salute another group this morning. I salute those of you who've been chosen by God to remain single so He can have you for Himself. Don't you ever say a negative word about one of those to me. And don't you ever call one of them an old maid in my presence, or you'll get a verbal blast right in your puss. There are ladies that God has chosen I'm talking about the Pam Hibberts. I'm talking about the Maxine Jeffries. I'm talking about an army of others in this room who've never known the joy of being a wife. You've never had a wedding gown. You've never had a reception. You've never had a shower for marriage or for a baby. And yet you keep on going, and you encourage and you help others' children. May God bless you, and I salute that great army of unmarried ladies today. May God give you a wonderful Mother's Day. I salute those whom we call college students, who soon will rule the cradle that will rule the world. And lastly, and mostly, I salute my own sweetheart. Sitting on the front row of the choir, who happens to be the best Christian I know. Now how can we salute our mothers? Jesus said, honor thy mother and thy father. How can we honor and salute properly our mothers? Number one, by preparing to meet them in heaven. I told my mother on deathbed, Mama, I'll see you, and bless God I will. You sit here this morning, you're not a child of God, and you say you love your mother. I don't believe a word you say. You mean you love your mother and could spend eternity with her and you've chosen not to? Don't you tell me you love your mother. You say, I love my mother. I respect my mother on Mother's Day. And you went down and got a little card and a little gift to give her. And that's it for another year. Don't you tell me you love your mother unless you know that you're going to meet her in heaven someday. How can we salute and honor our mothers? By living lives that will make them proud and make their toil worthwhile. How can we honor our mothers? By giving them more than a card and a hasty bought gift. Or a quick long distance phone call and that's all. I'm for Mother's Day cards. I'm for Mother's Day gifts. I'm for calling Mother on Mother's Day. But I'm for making Mother's Day every Sunday and every Monday and every Tuesday, every Wednesday and every Thursday and every Friday and every Saturday, by living a life that'll honor Mother and make Mother proud of you. During the last days of my mother's life, she was soon to go to heaven. This was within 2 weeks of her departure. I made a list. I took it to her bedside. I read you that list today. I said, Mother, I know you're going to heaven. You told me that you're going soon. I read you a list today. I said, thank you, Mother, for teaching me and loving me through the Great Depression of the late 20s and the early 30s. I continued reading my list for my mother. Thank you, Mother, for laboring over a wood stove at home to prepare what food we had. And going without electricity because they couldn't afford it, and going without the heat because they couldn't afford it, and sometimes going to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because we had no wood to put in the wood stove. Thank you, Mother, for being a mama and a daddy to me. This is my list, because my daddy was rarely ever at home. Number four, Mother, I read to her on her deathbed, thank you for working day and night and staying up late to play games with your boy when you were so tired you could hardly stay awake. Thank you for the checkers, the Chinese checkers, the pickup sticks games we used to play. My mother's dying as I read the list. Thank you, Mother, for every night you went sleepless to heal a sick son before there was ever such a thing as an antibiotic. Thank you, Mother, for working in a hot lunchroom at a public school over a hot steam table to keep a boy clothed and fed. Thank you for walking 2 miles to work to that lunchroom every morning, and 2 miles home every afternoon. I continued reading the list to my mother. Thank you, Mother, for going 12 years without a new dress so I could have some clothes, even hand-me-downs, to wear. Thank you, Mother, for sitting by my side in church after we had walked through all kinds of weather to get there. And lastly, thank you, Mother, for being my mama, my friend, and my pal when I was a boy. I received a lot of great honors in my life. I guess I have a dozen doctor's degrees granted me by various colleges. I was honored last Monday night in Texas by hundreds of people. I received a lot of honors in my life. I doubt if I ever received an honor quite as great as my mother's reply. Some tears fell from her eyes, followed by a heave and a sigh and a bony hand holding mine with a feeble whisper, saying, "It was worth it, son. It was worth it, son." Was it worth it for your mother? You young people listen to your rock music. Was it worth it to your mother? You people living lives that are loose and love HBO more than you do JESUS. Was it worth it to your mother? And then a few days later, a story that I tell often, you've heard often. Wednesday night after church, I went out to her bedside. She told me she wouldn't live through the night. She didn't think. She said, "I'm going to heaven soon." She was very alert. And she said, "Son, I'd like to ask you two favors." To a whisper, heave and sighing, she said, "I want you to preach my funeral. And then, son, I don't want my death to cause you to cancel a single speaking engagement." I said, "Mother, I don't think I could do either one of those." And my mother gave me an honor that's greater than an honorary degree or a doctor's degree from Yale University. My mother said, "Son, get this, young people. Get it? Get it? Son, you never disobeyed me. You never disobeyed me. Don't disobey me now, or my death did." And I said, "Mama, I promise you I'll preach your funeral. And between the time you pass away and go to heaven and your funeral service, I'll not cancel a single engagement." Next morning, I had to leave to fly to Charleston, South Carolina, where I was to preach at the State Christian Educators Convention. I called my mother, as I always did before I left O'Hara Field, to tell her I loved her. And standing there in the hallway of O'Hara Field, I told the nurse, I said, "Put the telephone up to Mother's ear." She did, and I shouted so Mother could hear me, "I love you, Mother! I love you, Mother! I love you, Mother! How long has it been since you walked up to your mother and said, 'I love you, Mother'?" I never left my mother's presence without telling her I loved her, and never left her presence without kissing her goodbye, ever. The nurse said, "Dr. Hiles, your mother's dying. She'll come quickly. I believe we can keep her alive if you get here." And I said, "Nurse, I can't come." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because I made Mama a promise last night that I'd preach her funeral and that I would not cancel a single engagement of speaking." I got on the plane and flew to Charleston, South Carolina. Stood in stateroom 217, La Quinta Inn there. Phone rang. My sister said, "Jack, Mama just went to heaven." We sang, "I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Victory in Jesus." We sang it as Mama went to heaven. 5 minutes later, a car came, drive me to preach. I got in the car and the driver said, "How's your mother doing?" And I said, "She's well. She's much better." I didn't tell him she'd gone to heaven. I just said, "She's well and much better." Had an appointment that night before the service with Doug Caleb. He's the only person that knew my mother died that night. I told him before the service. He was pastoring down the area. I preached that night, and 8 times I preached, my mother's body lay in state. And then I stood before this many people and preached my mother's funeral. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to honor my mother. I'm going to keep my mother alive, though she's in heaven. I'm going to keep her name before the people. I'm going to keep my mother alive. So I say to the queens today in this room, from the heart of a grateful preacher who's pastored more godly, sweet ladies than any man who's ever lived. I say thank you to my sweetheart in the choir and to all of you who reigned and ruled with your scepter of love on your throne of grace with mercy as a crown. I salute you today. I hope you'll feel my gratitude. And those of you this morning, you'll never honor your mother any more than you will by trusting Christ as your Savior. Never will. Mother's Day, I'm sorry. A son or daughter on his way to hell, I'm sorry, but a corsage won't take the place of that. I'm sorry. A wicked life, a life of rebellion against the will of God and the plan of God for your life, I'm sorry. But a new dress won't take the place of that. This morning, I'm going to dedicate myself anew. I'm going to honor my mother by honoring her Savior. And I'm going to honor my mother by trying to live a life so she can say in heaven as she said on her deathbed, Son, sit on